Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenhoff coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. You can call, you can text 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter.
How was your weekend?
Oh, it was nothing happened. It was
boring.
Completely, whatever.
Just stretched out, did nothing.
Relaxed. It was quite a Sunday. It was quite a Sunday.
You rocked that Sunday off for me. I was like, you woke me up from a nap.
I texted you right after I saw the news. Anyway, Joe Biden announcing he will not be running for re-election. Joseph Pecky, political consultant, will be joining us at 10:33 to give us his perspective on that. Todd Alba, our friend and colleague, who has the Todd Alba Show from noon to 2, will join us from 11 to 11:30. I think Todd kind of predicted on Friday that this was going to happen.
We were hearing all sorts of, it's going to happen Wednesday. It's going to happen. I was not sure because I told somebody, I can't remember who it was, I said, Joe Biden, called a press conference. Everyone said, this is when he's stepping down. And for the next hour said, I'm not going anywhere. So I'm like, it's anyone's game.
Yeah. I was surprised. Not completely surprised, but yes, I was surprised just because he was so adamant that he wasn't going to leave.
Yeah.
But obviously, there are a lot of polling numbers we don't have access to. Mm-hmm. Todd had a special program yesterday on civic media that was fantastic. And Trigvi Olson joined him, who's the senior advisor for the Lincoln Project, and said, too, he sees polling numbers that not everybody sees. And there was a lot of concern about President Biden's viability for another term.
I think some key people coming out, too, and saying he needs to step down. I think that talk with Nancy Pelosi held a lot of sway. And then Barack Obama didn't say he should step down, but he did say he didn't see a pathway to victory, which I think, we all know how much Joe regards Barack and his advice. So I'm sure there was a conversation.
I'm curious, how are you feeling today?
Yep.
How do you feel about this decision? Kamala Harris now appears she will be the presidential nominee. Again, we have to get to the convention, which is in August in Chicago. So that's just a couple of weeks away. But I'd love to know how you're feeling about this. I was stunned originally when he first released his statement.
Mm-hmm.
But as the day went on, it's just interesting to see how this cycles through the media and different outlets.
Oh, yeah.
And it's amazing some of the narratives that are already coming out. And we'll get to some of those in just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to start out with a clip. This was when Nikki Haley.
I remember her.
Remember Nikki Haley?
Yes.
From when Nikki Haley was running to be the nominee for the Republican Party. This is what Nikki Haley had to say. This is just from a couple of months ago, Kelvin.
Most Americans do not want a rematch between Biden and Trump.
No!
The first party to retire its 80-year-old candidate is going to be the party that wins this election.
Boom.
All right.
Well, and you found something this morning about, because there were voters for Nikki Haley.
Yes.
And then they went to support President Biden.
Yes. In Newsweek, reporting actually yesterday around 7 o'clock, this comes from Manny Tahiri from Newsweek, saying that the PAC that was named to be Haley Voters for Trump, this is a full blown political action committee, has now changed its name, is going to be the Haley Voters for Harris. So this PAC that was supporting Nikki Haley is now moving their support to Kamala Harris, which I think is a big, it opens up all sorts of questions as far as, those voters who were for Trump on the fringes, like I'm holding on by a thread here. This opens, I mean, I asked a couple of these questions with Pat this morning. I'm going to ask some more later today with you, Joe, as well as Todd, regarding the rhetoric now, this barrage of rhetoric of all sorts, from the seemingly logical to just the blatantly racist and sexist. How will this affect those people, the thread hangers and the undecideds?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
855-752-4842. Dave from New Berlin. This is old news. Let us mention that the Brewers are undefeated coming out of the All-Star break. Okay, Dave.
Is it a sweep if it's only two games? Look, I love the Brewers, but they're like, we swept the Twins. I'm like, we played them twice. I mean, come on.
John from Milwaukee is on the line. Good morning, John. Thank you so much for joining us.
I'm just disgusted. I worked for the Biden campaign. I did stuff for his primary. And also, it's just all taken away. So I look back at this, and now I'm thinking, maybe they are right. They moved up this debate to show how incompetent he was so they could get rid of him. We saw a coup happen in broad daylight.
Well, John, I would say this isn't a coup by definition, but also the debate was agreed upon by both candidates. If there was any problem or any thoughts on, I mean, now it seems like, are you saying that this was within what the call was coming from within the House, people within the Biden campaign? That traipses into conspiracy theory for me. And I don't buy that. Biden he's a very, very opinionated man. He very much knows what he wants to do. He wanted this debate as well. So if we're thinking that this was done to show his incompetence, I just don't see the evidence.
John, I understand your disappointments with Joe Biden stepping out of the race. I genuinely do. But I think as well, it's about who can win the office now.
Mm-hmm.
And as you said, as Barack Obama said, there is no path to victory.
Yeah.
And what is a greater threat? A second Trump term? And Agenda 47 and Project 2025?
Yeah.
I think that's a greater threat right now. Do you agree, John, or no?
Can't grow democracy because of that. Everything that was done in the primaries, now they're just saying, well, okay, this democracy argument that we had against Trump, we can't use that anymore because we just did something. I'm like, wait a second. Is this the Republican Party? This, my Democrat Party, I will not vote. I definitely won't vote for Trump, but I'm sitting this out, and I don't know if you saw what AOC said over the weekend. She said she's not going along with this. She posted a message, and she said, you're not just going to sweep this under the rug. You're not just going to force this person on us. AOC, I could give or take, but that's the most, I think that's the smartest, most positive, interesting thing she has ever said. But what has happened here, okay, we can gaslight the Republicans, nothing to see here, nothing to worry about. When we know in our minds, at least I do, it's like, wait, this is all a sham. We were told up until last week that Biden was just fine. I believed it. I believed all the Republican stuff that, oh, Joe is senile, he'll fall over. Wait, they must have known that because that would happen.
Go on.
He just lost him. Thank you for calling, John. I'm curious how old John is. I'm just curious how this is playing. Kamala is Gen X, right?
Correct. She's 59.
She's 59. And I would think for some, and I've seen you and I talked about this a little bit before we got on the air, that Gen Xers have never even seen anyone on a ballot who is their age.
Yeah.
Because they've always been 20 years older.
Mm-hmm. And Kamala, when she ran for president, we're like, oh my gosh, here we go. And then she stepped down, but then comes Joe Biden, who at the time was in his mid-70s. You're like, oh, another old guy. And I appreciate what you're saying, John. I get that there is disappointment. I'm not going to take it away from you.
And I think a lot of people feel that Joe Biden got stabbed in the back.
But you cannot deny what we were seeing happening in front of us. You know, there was some... The cognitive ability was starting to wane. There were big mix-ups, big missteps in speeches. I don't even want to say the debate was even that was a bad debate, but everything that happened after that just seemed to get worse and worse and worse. And we had to ask the hard questions that the other party is not even coming close to asking with their candidate.
Well, absolutely. And the amount of scrutiny that President Biden received for every misstep,
yes,
and every misstatement. Someone looked at the New York Times, which used to be the paper of record, and counted up the number of articles that were written about Joe Biden's mental acuity. And there were hundreds of them,
yeah,
in just the last couple of weeks. And yet we have the other guy talking about sharks and batteries, and that's just fine and perfectly normal discourse. Calvin, how do you feel about this, resident young person?
Well, first I want to clear AOC's name. She tweeted, Kamala Harris will be the next president of the United States. I pledge my full support to ensure her victory in November. Now more than ever, it is crucial that our party and our country swiftly unite to defeat Donald Trump and the threat to American democracy. Let's get to work. How? I'm really confused where he got this information that AOC
was raising questions.
Was raising questions about how this was handled, because that's evidently not true.
He might be referring to the AOC video that came out last week saying that Biden needed to stay in the race. She did put out a video last week. That was last week, though. It's this week now. Keep going, Calvin. My apologies.
Okay. And then, I mean, I'm just excited right now. If you would have told me a year ago that I would have been this excited to vote for Kamala Harris, I wouldn't have believed you. But
yeah,
with just the momentum she has right now, and I've looked into her record a little bit more, her voting record in the Senate, even though she was only there for 4 years, was great. Her history as a prosecutor, I think, is going to be strong for the law and order people that really care about that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think she has a lot of positives.
That's great to hear. Do you think your friends, because, again, Calvin's our resident young person.
Yeah.
Are your friends excited too? Do you think they're going to get fired up about this and maybe get a little more involved?
I'm not sure. To be completely frank, a lot of my friends are idiots.
Well, here's your chance to educate them. Listen to Civic Media all across all the shows and call and text as well at 855-752-4842. It's nice to have a clear eye. When you're looking at people you care about.
There's nothing like seeing a resident young person fired up. Because I don't know what fires them up. Right. You know what fires me up? Going to bed early. I don't know what fires Calvin up, but this does. And this makes me happy.
Tom and Scott, I see you on the line. We will be right back. Stay with us. Don't hang up. You're listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Sweet Cal B coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. You can call, you can text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. Of course, talking about yesterday's breaking news. Mm-hmm. President Biden announcing he will not seek re-election and endorsing his Vice President Kamala Harris. She's getting a lot of endorsements now.
Yeah.
A lot of them coming in this morning from Democratic governors, other House Democrats all seem to be stepping up. Senator Tammy Baldwin has come out in support of Kamala Harris. So, and we're going to be talking about this for a bit. Joseph Pecky's going to join us at 10:33. He's a political consultant. Todd Alba will be here at 11 o'clock to break things down. And we also want to hear from you. How are you feeling about this?
Yeah.
I understand if people are disappointed. I understand if you feel, I don't know if I would use the word betrayal, but certainly disappointed.
Yeah.
But again, the bigger goal is to defeat Trumpism and Project 2025 and Agenda 47. And if you are upset about this, please don't not vote.
That
because not
nothing.
Voting is a vote for Trump.
Yeah. I think that's something Joe will probably talk about and Todd will talk about. And we will all talk. And they've actually been talking about since yesterday, which is, you know, this is about securing our freedom. And I'm not one that talks about this a lot because I feel like the word freedom is used in a very almost fetished way to by the other side to say, like, we want freedom. This is really about our freedom, our democracy, our processes, our voting. And this was a move made by a man who loves his country so much that he was willing to step aside. Do you know how hard it is for a politician to step aside? Regardless of party, that's a massive amount of ego. And I don't say that in a negative light. You have to have that to run for that kind of office.
Absolutely.
And to step aside and say, I will do this for the good of my country and hand this over to my vice presidential pick and the vice president of the country, that says so much. And this is about putting us all together and protecting these processes, the voting process, freedom. It is never more important. And we're seeing the support coming from all over now. It's not just Democratic leaders. It's Republican leaders. It's people who want to just see America, even if they're not living with leadership who does exactly what they like, still has the semblance of what we were 10, 15, 20, 100 years ago.
Yep. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. MyVote.WI.gov, by the way.
Yeah.
If you have any questions, August 13th, primary election here in Wisconsin. It's very important.
Yes.
Not very sexy. We don't care. Be a voter. It's cool. Tom from LA is on the line. He's been waiting. Thank you for your patience, Tom. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, guys. First off, it's a new day in America.
Yep.
Second, John was a plant. Just to let you know, whenever anyone says the Democrat Party, that's always your telltale that that they're really not from the Democratic Party. Joe Biden was the one that actually gave the endorsement of Kamala Harris. And I mean, we had her for a state senator as our attorney general here in California, and she was absolutely perfect. She's going to follow the same policies as Joe Biden. She's going to be an excellent president. I'm hoping she picks maybe someone like a Roy Cooper from North Carolina, because that's 19 electoral college votes. And he is being termed out as a governor. This actually has given me even more excitement to get phone banking, to get out door to door, because now I won't hear people say he's so old.
He's too old.
Yeah.
Now the Republicans need to really look at themselves and say, you have the oldest candidate ever that is running for president.
But they won't do that, Tom. Thank you so much, Tom. Really appreciate it. I want to get our next caller in. Scott from St. Louis. Thank you, too, for your patience. Scott, what did you want to say?
Good morning. So I actually think this could cause a wave of voters for Kamala Harris, because something that you mentioned earlier of not voting is a vote for Trump. A lot of my friends have said they'll either vote for RFK or not vote at all because they didn't like Biden or Trump. Like, they definitely didn't want Trump, but they didn't like Biden. And so now that group of voters don't have Biden to kind of plug their nose and vote for someone else. They have someone they can get behind. And those who didn't want to vote for either now have someone they can vote for. And so I think that could cause a massive wave towards Kamala Harris.
That's a great question.
That's a great point, Scott. Thank you so much. Thank you for calling.
How many Bob Jr. voters are going to come to Kamala now? There's a lot of great questions in here of how this is. Listen to Calvin before. How is this firing everyone up, folks? How is this firing you up? Is this firing you up? There's some people who are disappointed, but is it getting you excited? We're hearing excitement on the calls and on the texts. It's really coming through that this was the right decision to be made by President Biden. And we want to know, how do you feel about it?
Sue from Franklin on the text line. Heather Cox Richardson said, President Biden has many stellar qualities, but above all, his sense of timing has always been unrivaled. I agree. They waiting until Trump was officially named the GOP nominee. And now all the news about the RNC is in the background. And I also think that I've been reading different articles, and we'll talk more to Joe about this and to Todd as well, that they locked in J.D. Vance as VP, very confident that they were going to win.
Yeah.
Because J.D. Vance is not a moderate by any stretch of the imagination. He has already called for a national abortion ban. He wants to get rid of no-fault divorce. And now he's their guy.
And so
how do you appeal to any of the people hanging on the threads, on the edges? What can you give them now?
Well, there was no real even strategy with J.D. Vance. Usually you pick somebody from a state you're trying to win or try to deliver a region. And J.D. Vance didn't really do any of those things. He's really nothing more than what Trump needs to have next to him, which is a sycophant. He needs someone to say, yes, sir, perfect, sir. You're the best at this, sir. No one is the best president but you, sir. That's it. And J.D. Vance has shown from his de-evolution that he's going to be that guy. And this just kind of reminds me of the overconfidence of 2008 when they said, like, Sarah Palin's our VP. We got this. She's a lady, everybody. We have to have this because you love ladies. Who doesn't love ladies? And she fell apart quick, too. And J.D. Vance is not much better of a candidate or a campaigner.
Liz from Saukville listening on WAUK. Of course, I will support Kamala Harris, but I'm still so sad. President Biden helped pass so much great legislation, stood up for all Americans, and did so with so much class. God bless him.
Absolutely.
I say with tears. And I think a lot of people feel the way that way, Liz. Absolutely. And have a lot of respect for him and everything that he's accomplished. And if you want to, if you really want to cry,
yeah,
go to YouTube, search for Hamilton.
Oh boy.
One last time.
Oh, I
Hamilton,
mean,
one last time. You'll be in a puddle.
Oh, this is what is going to make him the true statesman.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. News is coming up next. And then when we return, we're going to talk to political consultant Joe Zepecki is joining us. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome, welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jay Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calvin coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. That little bumper music, everybody wants you, specifically for our next guest. Political consultant Joe Zepecki is here. You've been a very busy man, I have a feeling, over the last 24 hours.
It feels like the last 8 days, really, have been one continuous, never-ending conveyor belt of calls and takes and interviews and what do we do next and what does this mean for what happens next. And you know, I'd be honest if I told you anything other than I do kind of love it.
Well, hey, you have a unique perspective. You've worked within the political system. I think you have perspective that most of us lack. I certainly lack it. I know Greg does and Calvin, and so you provide insights that I think others might miss. I guess, Joe, the first thing I would like to know is, were you surprised when President Biden made the announcement yesterday, or did you kind of expect this?
I expected it.
You did?
The writing was sort of on the wall. I mean, it took 25 days since the, like, after the debate. And I know that for the last 25 days, that has felt to us like an interminable amount of time. And once we have a little distance, it will be remarkable and astonishing that it only took 3.5 weeks. That's the way that perspectives change. What Joe Biden did yesterday is one of the most awe-inspiring things you can imagine in public life or in political life. We are told over and over again by people who want us to trust the system less that the politicians don't listen to you. They don't care what you think. And what we saw yesterday was that Joe Biden does care what the American people think, that he was listening to the American people as they were saying, you're not the man you used to be. This isn't going to work. And what he decided to do yesterday is the most selfless thing I've ever seen in American political history. You can certainly make a debate about Lyndon Johnson or George Washington, but that is the type of rarefied air we are talking about when it comes to someone in a position like the American presidency ceding that power without anyone being in the position to make them, right?
Like, right, right.
What I put out into the world, my first take on this was I loved Joe Biden 2 days ago, but yesterday I was in awe of him. And that doesn't mean I was surprised, but this is a moment of opportunity. He recognized that. And I believe that when it is all said and done, this will only add to his legacy and the way that he is remembered for his extraordinary life of public service. And I'm glad that we're starting here today and talking about Joe Biden, because what a remarkable man, the amount of things he has been through in his life, the ways he has turned pain into purpose and suffering and tragedy into a worldview that meant that he is connected with people. We should give him all the flowers today, and there will be much, much more time down the road to honor what he did. And we've got 105 days left now to try to figure out how to go win this thing. And I think the first 24 hours of that project, we're off to a pretty good start.
If you're just joining us, Joe Zepecki is our guest. He's a political consultant. We're talking about President Biden's announcement yesterday that he will not be seeking re-election. I wanted to share a text with you, Joe, just because I think it speaks for a lot of us. John from Menominee Falls said, I just want to thank President Biden for a lifetime of service to this country, whether it was navigating COVID and getting a vaccine out to everyone who wanted one, being an advocate for fighting climate change, bringing back manufacturing and infrastructure repair, or acting to help the poorest of the poor. He has been the best president we've had in a generation. Thank you for always putting your country and your fellow Americans first and paving the way to give an opportunity to someone else to lead us into the future. You are a true patriot. Again, that's from John from Menominee Falls. And when I was texting with some friends yesterday afternoon, I said the same thing. This just solidifies my belief that Joe Biden is a decent and honorable man.
Yeah, and even another way to put that is that Joe Biden understands it's not about him. And that is something that Donald Trump has never understood, right? Like there's the difference. Donald Trump thinks this is all about him. Joe Biden has understood that it has never been about him. It has been about the American people. And that laundry list that John just went through is incredible and astonishing, and ways that will impact this country for years and years and years to come, if not decades. I did have to sort of pound my head against the table. One of the columns I saw yesterday was like, oh, now that Joe Biden has stepped aside, now the press is going to write Joe Biden changed America in ways that will impact them positively for decades to come. Yeah. You're just like, this could have been helpful 6 months ago.
Yeah.
But it's not the job. It's not the press's job to help. But I think the laundry list that John went through there also speaks to one of the clearest indicators that Republicans are losing their absolute minds and don't know what to do and are freaking out. And we can talk about former President Trump's reaction if we need to. But I do think just the everyday Republicans, the Senate candidates, the Eric Hovdes of the world, if you will, they don't understand what just happened. And they're one of their first reactions, and their reactions were a little bit all over the place, but one of the first reactions was, wow, it doesn't matter if it's not Joe Biden. Whoever runs is going to own the Democrats' record.
What?
The problem that the American people were having with Joe Biden was not his record. And the evidence of that is they support what Joe Biden has done on healthcare to lower prescription drug costs and strengthen Medicare and get more people into the affordable care marketplace. The American people support what Joe Biden has been and Democrats have been trying to do to preserve and protect our democracy from the things we've already done, like the update to the Electoral Count Act, to the prospective things that Joe Biden hoped to get done in a second term. And I certainly presume Kamala Harris would want to do in a second term, which is the John Lewis Voting Rights Advancement Act, the Freedom to Vote Act. Those are things that will strengthen our democracy, expand the franchise, and help make sure we administer our elections in ways that everybody can understand and see and be transparent and will end partisan gerrymandering. Those are all big ticket things that the American people want. And the reason we know that the problem that American people were having with Joe Biden wasn't about those policies is if you look at all of the public polling in all of the states, all of the Democratic senators who voted for that entire agenda are running 9, 10, 12, 13 points ahead of Joe Biden. It really just boiled down to the moment had passed him by. And that's a hard thing to realize, but he did realize it. And now Democrats have an opportunity to go out and sell that agenda, both what they've done for the American people with 800,000 new manufacturing jobs and 16 million new jobs overall and a 40,000 point record high Dow Jones Industrial Average, the strongest economy in the world, all of those things. Now we can go have that conversation with the American people as opposed to a daily conversation about, well, did the president trip over his words today?
Right.
Well, he said President Assisi, did he mean President blah, blah, blah. So this is an opportunity, and it's an opportunity available to us because Joe Biden made the most selfless decision that I could possibly imagine.
But I also, I put a lot of blame on the New York Times and the Washington Post. And the, I mean, there's never been remotely the amount of coverage on Donald Trump and his inability to string together more than three words without saying something loony. And mm-hmm. I had to laugh when you said that guys like Eric Hovde don't know. I mean, what was this? Because their party would never do that. Their party right. has done nothing but bend over backwards and continue to lower their standards every time Donald Trump does something egregious.
Yeah, one of the more frustrating things I hear is when people say that there is no difference between the two parties. And I try to never respond in anger to that or to like let my frustration boil over, because people get to believe what they want to believe. And what we have seen, particularly in the last 8 days, 9 days now, is that the two parties are not the same, right? That one party laughs at Paul Pelosi when he is viciously attacked in his own home.
With a hammer.
With a hammer. The other party rushes to condemn a failed, thank goodness, assassination attempt of a former Republican Party president. One party pledges fealty to their dear leader and nominates someone with 34 felony convictions who is an adjudicated rapist who cannot practice business in the state of New York for years to come, who was impeached twice. I'll stop the list there, but if that's not a conclusive list.
Yeah.
And the other party had a conversation about their future and the future of the country and decided they wanted to go a different way and made that clear in a way that that leader of the party stepped aside willingly. The two parties are not the same, folks. They're just not. It's not just about their position on abortion or tax policy or guns. It is also in the ways that they comport themselves. And that has been on full display in the last 8 or 9 days.
I might be wrong, but dictators rarely step down.
I think that's actually it's an impossibility. If someone ever, like if you thought someone was a dictator and then they stepped down, it would turn out that you were wrong. They had not been a dictator.
Jake from Madison listening here in Waukesha, the shot of energy that comes with Biden leaving and a younger Kamala Harris coming in is huge. And the way that age and change angle has flipped 180 degrees is massive for winning and saving our nation's democracy. Yeah, the whole,
hear.
I mean, their whole script has been flipped. And I saw somebody whining yesterday about, and it might have been Jim Jordan, we should get our money back for all these ads that we created attacking Joe Biden and his age.
Donald Trump said that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We should get our money back.
Oh, and Steve Miller.
Oh,
he was so angry.
On Fox News, voice cracking.
Stephen Miller's voice was so high, I think dogs could hear it because it was that special freak. It really seems like they're just handling this so well.
No, they're not. Because it's an act of political selflessness that's unrecognizable to them. So the Trump campaign has been saying, oh, yeah, we've got a plan. Right. But now the reporting is coming out that they never got that far on those plans because they didn't think it would actually happen. They thought that the moment had passed and there was no way that that Biden had basically run out the clock. And would to look at former President Trump's Truth Social account yesterday is a Rorschach test for one of the more disturbed minds of a generation.
I asked myself yesterday when I was watching all the news, I'm like, do I have to sign up for Truth Social now to see everything going on? Because I couldn't. It's not on Twitter, and
it,
I was like,
it works its way onto Twitter though.
Yeah, it's true. Sure, I'll let other people do the hard work for me.
Well, weird.
Yeah,
go ahead, Joe.
Just everything from conspiracy theories that President Biden doesn't have COVID to the ramblings of an angry, incoherent old man shaking his fist at a cloud. So I think it's safe to ask today, is Donald Trump too old to be president? And I think he probably is. And the American people are going to send that message in a resounding fashion in 105 days.
So many questions. So many questions. Joseph Pecky.
I'll come back to answer more of them.
Oh, good.
Please. Please and thank you.
Joseph Pecky is staying here. You can always join us at 855-752-4842. Keep it close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, the Calvinator on the board, coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can join us, you can call, you can text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. If you ever want to contact the show, you can email us directly at janesays@civicmedia.us. Jane says at civicmedia.us. Delighted that he made time for us. Joseph Pecky, political consultant, is here talking about President Biden's decision yesterday not to seek a second term. And as he is wont to do, Wisconsin Congressman Glenn Grothman sharing more pearls of wisdom, this time not about going back to the good old days of the 1960s, but Glenn Grothman was caught at Mitchell, right?
At Mitchell,
At Mitchell Airport, flying out to D.C. this morning. And let's play that little clip from Glenn Grothman.
It is, I think, going to be more difficult to beat somebody who's not Joe Biden.
Okay. Anything else about this decision that you wanted to say?
No, I think it's going to be a difficult race. I think people can say you're going to be picking an unknown for vice president, but to be honest, as soon as you're nominated for a national office like that, you become known in the first week.
Is there anyone that you see challenging Harris that could potentially overpower, like that you think more people could get behind?
I know there are some Democrats who don't like her, and she has the obvious weakness at the border, as well as she hasn't been the most articulate candidate so far. But apparently, they feel, or a lot of Democrats feel, they have to stick with her because of her ethnic background. And so I'm sure there's some division there on that issue.
Yeah, she's not qualified at all. I mean, she was attorney general,
United States Senator, Vice President.
She's so not qualified, Joe, and she just doesn't speak very well. Kellyanne Conway came out and said she does not speak well, she does not work hard, she should not be the standard bearer for the party. And her ex-husband, George Conway, said not everyone can express themselves as eloquently and with such exquisite turns of phrase as Donald Trump.
Duh. I, you know, and we played that clip for a reason, because that just, that's going to start the train of from conspiracy theories that we're hearing to just blatant sexism and racism. And the thing that I'm wondering, Joe, and please give me your thoughts on this, is if they're going to embrace that sort of rhetoric, how many of the people who are hanging onto that party by a thread are going to break and be like, I don't need that. You know, I didn't want to vote for Joe Biden. I was going to vote for Trump holding my nose, but this is a bridge too far. And will that embracing of such horrible rhetoric hurt them?
Yes. In 2020, the coalition of voters that defeated Donald Trump was not a pro Joe Biden coalition.
Right.
It was an anti Donald Trump coalition. After Donald Trump lost and that coalition was put together, two politically also just terrible things, but from a pure political standpoint, two additional terrible things happened to Donald Trump. January 6th and the plot to overthrow the election, and the Dobbs decision reversing Roe v. Wade after half a century. So the anti-Trump coalition in this country is big enough to win a national election, to win national elections, plural, for years to come. The challenge that Joe Biden was having was that coalition was cracking because people weren't sure that 3 or 4 years from now he could still do the job. They could see with their own eyes that he could stand up there at the NATO conference and answer complicated multi-part foreign policy questions for an hour, but they were genuinely concerned about what 2027 might look like, for example. What Kamala Harris can do is more quickly and more fulsomely rebuild that anti-Trump coalition. You do not need a pro-Kamala Harris coalition to beat Donald Trump. You just need to get those younger voters, the voters of color, those middle voters, and those never Trump Republicans who had started to go, boy, I can't stand Trump, but I don't really feel good about putting an old man in a situation where he's got to do this for the next 4 years, or maybe I'll look third party. And so that's what the left will be trying to do, is reassemble that coalition. And a bonus for making that reassembling easier is that Donald Trump and everyone on down in the Republican Party is freaking out and reminding them all the things that people didn't like about Trump, which is he's a loose cannon and he's a racist and he's a misogynist and he's sexist. And as all of that comes out, they're actually doing the job for Kamala Harris and the Democratic Party of reassembling that anti-Trump coalition. So that's a highly, like, probably more technical than you wanted, political.
No, it was perfect. It was perfect. Because I love seeing the GOP doing the heavy lifting for us.
Yeah. The too long didn't read version is yes, Greg is right.
Joseph Pecky is our guest. He's a political consultant, and we're talking about President Biden's decision yesterday to make the announcement he will not seek re-election. I am seeing the misogyny come out already, and good heavens, even when he ran the first time, there, and I've seen the T-shirts, Joe and the Ho, which is what a lovely Christian statement, yeah, to wear
values.
To wear on your
Don't
chest.
Values.
Yeah, yep.
But yeah, they're talking about, oh, you know, Kamala Harris slept her way to the top. No, she dated Willie Brown in the 90s after he'd been separated for over a year. And besides, I don't want to hear anybody talking about having a pristine sexual background, especially from someone who supports Donald Trump.
Can I say one thing about what this is about? There are permission structures. We talk about them in politics. And one of the things that people will try to do if they are in that Trump coalition, the pro-Trump coalition, they will try to deny you permission in their, like, in your mind and say, well, she can't win. She's a black woman. I am here to tell everyone who can listen to me that that is the biggest can of malarkey I have ever seen. Barack Hussein Obama won 2 landslide elections in this country, right? A black man whose middle name was Hussein won an electoral college romp and a popular vote romp. And Hillary Clinton, the first woman to be nominated by a major party, won the national popular vote by millions of votes. A black woman, Kamala Harris, can and will win the presidency of the United States.
Joseph Pecky, giving us some hope. Thank you so very much, Joe. Really appreciate it. I'm sure we will reach out again and pester you soon. Stay with us. News is coming up next. Todd Alba will be here when we return. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.